bait. Tom Hardy. That's bait. Can we do meme like, references? Like GIF references? Is it GIF or GIF?
Dude, one is GIF. Two, it's an audio medium. I don't know if we can really reference GIFs on a podcast. I mean,
we could try. We could certainly try.
Okay. Maybe that could be our entire episode, podcast. Right? We're going to do GIF reenactments on audio and see who gets it.
The Nerd A GIF Show.
Hey! Yeah. It's producer Andy coming in hot once again.
Robert Downey Jr. rolling his eyes. Bam. For you. All right. Points. We got to introduce the show at some point. So.
Do we?
Yo. It's Nerd A GIF Show. Do I sound like, hey, Fat Albert?
No, not even close, dude. I think I can do a better Fat Albert than you at that point.
No, man.
hey, it's Fat Albert.
That's good.
That's really good.
Thank you.
So why don't you really do good. Yo, it's Nerd Ass Show.
That was because, because that is not my starting point. I don't know.
So we're just freeballing it here. I'm a freestyler. I know I'm a freestyler.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is the dick joke episode.
So we're just freestyling it here on this episode. This is season 3, episode 9, and we are talking about The Boys. It's the new hotness on Amazon Prime. Gotta admit, first time I saw the commercials for this show, I was like, one, you're gonna spank a hero. It seemed kind of dumb, but like after the hype train took off, it's got a 90-something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Like, I decided I had to check the show out, and everyone is right, man. This show is awesome. Watch this, binge watch this in about 2 days. It was so great. Such a great take on something that's been so familiar to us for the last decade or so. So, Richard, like, why don't you just get us started, man? Like, what do you like about this show?
What I love about this show is that people who want to rag on superheroes are going to love this show. People who love superheroes are going to love this show. We finally have found the bridge that we all, people who hate superheroes movies and are tired of it, and people who love superhero movies, we have found the show for everybody, I feel.
Because for the most part, the superheroes are the villains in this one.
Yes, yes, they are.
It's heavily advertised.
Except for Starlight.
All right. I think the Deep is going to make a transition next season, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I truly enjoy just how real this show gets from the very get-go.
Yeah.
You're introduced to this very mild-mannered character. He's on a walk with his girlfriend, and boom, you know, the equivalent of the Flash, like, literally runs through his girlfriend, makes a bloody mess all over the sidewalk, and the show just immediately grabs you by, you know, the throat and then headbutt you.
Right.
And it's like, welcome to the boys, you know?
And he couldn't be bothered. Like, he's like, I gotta go.
He's like, I can't stop. Bye.
And he's just holding his girlfriend's hands. That's all that's left.
That's all that's left. It's just her arms and wrist. And just the bloody
that's
stubs.
Not funny.
What?
That's
not
funny. That's
darkly funny.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for that.
By the way, I guess we should throw a spoiler tag on really quick.
Spoilers.
Just for our friends and family who are out there listening. Like,
I just spoiled the opening. It's not a big deal.
I realize that, but I think you guys are going to get a little further into the storyline at some point, I believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
so for the sake of everyone, spoilers.
Yeah. Massive spoilers on the way. So who is your favorite character so far? Apart from the obvious, like Bill Butcher, who's your favorite supervillain?
The French guy.
Oh, Frenchie?
Yes.
Oh, Frenchie's
the best. And Mother's Milk. Like, between Frenchie and Mother's Milk, and when they fight, it makes me happy.
Their fights are hilarious. And the way that Bill Butcher figures out, like, how to calm them down each time, the Spice Girls reference.
Yeah.
I think it was in, like, episode, I don't know, I'm not trying to date an episode. It was insane. My favorite supervillain is going to be Black Noir, though. He doesn't say shit throughout the entire thing. He just sits there, and in that scene where he wants the guy's playing the piano, and he sits down next to this guy playing the piano and just says nothing until the guy gets uncomfortable enough to get up and walk away so he can play the piano. So
I love
he's
that.
My favorite.
I love that. Anyway, it's... Yes, that was awesome. I also liked, what was her name? Elizabeth Shue? I loved her. Was it Elizabeth Shue? Or the Why am I looking at you? The the blonde woman.
That's going to be my question, too.
Starlight?
No. She was kind of the PR person. The head PR person. With the
Ashley?
Baby. With a baby.
Oh, Stillwell?
I loved her.
You like Stillwell?
I liked
She's
her.
She's awful.
I know.
And why I do like, you like her?
Because I liked her.
She's joke. Like incestuous. It's like the Cersei Lannister of superheroes, man.
No.
Like, what's going on?
And I loved her death.
Oh, yeah.
So I just ruined it for everyone.
Well, I'll ruin
it. And this is why we do spoiler tests.
Right. Spoilers. Anyway, I liked her. She was such a shallow, horrible person. Mm-hmm. At the end, I felt she got what she totally deserved.
So. All right, so Homelander, we got to talk about him. He's the main supervillain. He's iconic. He's taken from Superman, obviously.
Of course.
But he's like draped in American garb. He's got the American flag as a cape.
Right,
He's just an awful character, but does such a great job of putting on a good PR show. Do you feel like he is a kind of modern symbolism for just where we're at in terms of patriotism right now? Like just this thing that's supposed to be so noble and so awesome, but also just a dark underbelly underneath.
It's a show, basically. What he does is a show. Like, basically, when he was on the plane.
Right.
He was supposed to be all noble and saving all these people, and basically he just got annoyed with everyone. He goes, and his laser eyes, like, came on. He goes, I will burn and cut through all of you.
Right.
And the plane was about to crash.
So to give some context there, the plane has been hijacked.
Right.
And he just walks in. He kills all the hijackers.
Who's a woman superhero?
Queen Maeve.
Yes, I love her.
And they go up to the cockpit, and the guy, there's also a terrorist who's got the captain under hostage.
Right.
And he just laser beams him and all the equipment. Yeah. So the plane is no longer operable.
Right.
He doesn't know how to fly.
Right.
And they made a good point. Like, normally you just think, like, a Superman character would just be able to pick up the plane.
But right.
If you have no, like, kind of starting point to go through, he has to kind of either fly at it, which is a dubious prospect.
Right.
But, yeah, he decides to just let all those people die and then capitalizes off the moment afterward. And so, yeah, it's a crazy show, crazy villain. I really like what they did with the whole concept of vengeance in the story. Basically, with the main character kind of after this Flash A-Train, he's the Flash equivalent. For killing his girlfriend, he kind of comes around full circle at the end.
Yeah, he does.
And A-Train is actually having a heart attack at the end, and he goes to save him.
Right.
Versus the leader of the boys, Bill Butcher, he is stuck on this idea of trying to rescue or avenge the death of the quote unquote death of his dead wife.
Right.
You know, so really cool, really cool. All right. Well, we're gonna get Tyler involved in the conversation.
Hold up, because before we go into this, yes, I have not watched it, but a couple of things that stood out. One, this seems like what would happen if you actually gave real people superpowers.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we would love to be like, hey, yeah, totally. Flash, you would totally not be a dick.
Nah,
right. I think you would. Like, the Invisible Man, what is it called? The Deep? I was talking with a friend.
The Aquaman character.
Yeah, the Aquaman character. Yeah. I had a friend who was telling me about how, like, he tries to rescue a dolphin. And it sounded hilarious, honestly. But
he just tried to rescue a dolphin.
Oh, okay. I heard about that, too.
they have a little relationship.
That's right.
Can I tell you how funny that scene is?
Oh, my God.
He's trying to rescue the dolphin. And he's like he's driving the dolphin in a car.
Of course he does.
And it's like a Free Willy moment. He's got the dolphin all set up and everything. The cops are chasing him. And he makes this abrupt stop. And the dolphin flies through the windshield and onto the interstate. Gets hit by a 7-inch.
And it was that description of the show that really sold me on the idea that I have to watch this at some point.
Yes, but no, it's
I like
amazing.
It. I like that we have some things like this and Watchmen, where you have this dark take on like what would people actually do if they were superheroes. Like I like the kind of the over stylized. Oh, yeah, Captain America and Tony Stark and all that stuff. And it's like a regular person who gets these powers probably isn't that good. Like,
the big thing is the corporation, like the monetization of the whole thing.
Right.
And that is something I feel is not touched that much in like superhero movies as of yet, is that the fact that people would try and make a killing
Of course.
Off these people.
Well, they have different festivals.
Right.
I mean, anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, they sell superheroes to individual cities for, like, they wanted a new... He's like a D-list hero, Nubian Prince. He's, like, doing work in Detroit. They want to move him to Baltimore. She wanted to charge him fucking $300 million. Like, that's the type of money we're talking about here. They get their own movies. They get their own, like they literally set up the crime stops they do. They find out, all right, here a crime is going to happen. They get the intelligence. And then for the most flashy stuff, they send these superheroes to get, like, all the action shots and get a cool line out of them. It's just every aspect of the superhero life is just done to this incredible PR schedule
right. And
scale, all for the monetization. I thought that's a really interesting concept. Hasn't been touched on by other superhero stories. Right.
Exactly. So I think that is a wonderful counter programming to the consistent, like, superhero stuff that we've been seeing a lot recently, in the same way that, like, Endgame was so good. Because it broke the idea of a lot of the other superhero movies of, like, the hero always wins. And yes, he has this little fall, but, you know, he never suffers, really.
Right.
And so it's good to see some of these other things coming out where it's like, now let's look at this through a realistic, as much as you can with, you know, superpowered human beings, but let's look at this through a realistic lens.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting consideration of, like, what would really happen if one of us got superpowers? And I think you look at, like, the idea that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you look at some of these superheroes that they're putting out there, it's like, okay, that's a little bit more identifiable. That's a little bit more interesting to watch, I think.
Well,
And dolphins flying through windshields. I mean, that's just fucking funny. Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying. Well, I want to say I love Starlight. That I really did love her character because she was raised and, like, wanted to do, like, good and all this other stuff. And then wanted to join the superhero group. She finally got in it, and it was just very much like they told her to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is like, don't go fight crime, don't go do all this. It's like this, you're here for the photo shot, go away, you know.
So they'll really clean
it
up.
It was like, I loved her character and how she rebelled against it, even down to the clothing. They wanted her to be sexier and hotter and this, that, and the other. And she's like, I just want to wear my costume. I want to wear this costume that I originally came here in. Anyway, I loved her character. I thought it was great.
Okay, so it sounds like it's an interesting kind of comparison of, like, well, monetization.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's something that you can see all over the place today, from movies to video games to music, all over the place. People are trying to figure out, how do you cash in?
Right.
Versus that, like, purity of, what are we supposed to be doing? Like,
for the right reason.
Right, for the right reasons. So I like it. It sounds awesome. I just wish I had more time to see it, but, you know, babies.
Right.
Yeah, no. I know all about that.
But yeah.
I
mean, Hugh has gone before me.
It brings me back to the conversation we had in a previous episode with Lonnie Allen. He talked about Chrome Soul, and he talked about technological advancements.
Right.
And a lot of people think about, okay, how good would this be if we had X, Y, or Z? But he was thinking about how would it affect the world once it hit the streets.
Right.
And how people could abuse it in a way. And now we're kind of seeing that with this show and with superpowers. Like, no, this wouldn't just be a universal good. Like, is it possible to even have, I guess, kind of that situation in Civil War where the superheroes can kind of cut out a... like, kind of a stance for themselves without being integrated into, like, the government as a whole. Like,
right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
would they have to be a part of the Sokovia Accord, like, at some point?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, in this, it seems like it's the opposite. In Endgame or in...
MCU?
MCU, they didn't want to be, well... half of them, most of them,
right.
And then even in Endgame, everyone who wanted to be a part of the government saw how bad it was.
Right.
And this one, they want to be in the government. And remember, they want to break in. Thought
makes
House.
It so cool.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're talking about the fact that they want to be in the military because
of
the contract.
Yeah, and to, like, almost rule it. I mean, anyway, I love that parallel or whatever. It's opposite, but Yeah, anyway, I really did like that.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think
good story.
It brings in a very interesting story. And much like, again, going back to The Watchmen, talking about superheroes who believe themselves to be above the rest of humanity, and so they start acting without check,
right?
Basically, or without anybody watching their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an interesting commentary, not just on superheroes, but also on any large organization with power,
right?
Whether that's a government, a corporation, or, you know, the PTA down at the school. Without some form of check or balance against them, it starts to run out of control.
Exactly.
And so it's very timely. I think it's a great piece, and I like that they put it in terms of a superhero with a little bit of dark humor.
Yeah. But isn't it about, well, you haven't seen it yet, but it's all about how they spin it. It's like when that guy's girlfriend dies, you know, it's like they spin it in such a way where it was like, oh, she stepped off the curb an inch. He got in her way, or she got in his way, and that's why this happened. It was a horrible accident, other than he was high, remember, and he was running and wasn't looking where the fuck he was going.
Ooh, bastard.
That's another thing too.
I love this show.
How would superheroes react to like having the vices that everyone else does? You know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, mm-hmm. You know.
Paranoia, depression.
Exactly.
You know, take your pick.
Yeah.
It's an incredible show. If you have not seen it, go check it out. It's called The Boys on Amazon Prime. All right, now on to a more serious topic. That wasn't serious enough. We don't normally do politics on the show, but we do have a kind of a policy to talk about it when it arrives on our doorstep. And
right.
We felt that this situation regarding Walmart taking down quote-unquote violent video game displays in response to the president's reaction to the Dayton shooting and the El Paso shooting kind of warrants our response, our thoughts. So just so I can give us kind of a recap here, Walmart removed violent video game displays. It was reported that they also removed violent video games. That does not appear to be the case. We're also seeing a movie, I believe it's called Hunt, that canceled its release for now, stating like it's just too violent for now, kind of echoing those sentiments following the shootings in El Paso and Dayton over a couple weekends ago that claimed the lives of 29 people. We've had this conversation very long time back about just violent video games. And is there a link? Should we be thoughtful about what we allow kind of in our entertainment? Like, I don't know. That's just kind of how I'd said, begin the conversation. Where do you guys sit at?
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. I just think
it's... Don't be sorry.
I think it's people who have problems. Let's look at what's going on. Let's look at what the president is doing. Let's look at what he's allowing right now.
Right.
Let's look at all of that stuff and how he deflects it and said, oh, mental illness. Yeah, that's a part of it. The person's not right in their head. But it's like this, you, by the way you act, you're supposed to be a representative of this, of the United States, and you're allowing all of this shit, prejudice, like racism, and all of this other stuff, and you just allow it to happen. And when these people do these things, you don't come down and you don't tell them this is wrong. He doesn't even try, in my opinion. And whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian, whatever, wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. And I'm going to leave it at that before I start using words and letting them fly. letting it fly. It's not about video games. Because, like, video games have... These type of video
played
games...
Played all over the world.
And they've been around for how long?
Right.
I mean, please. It's 70s, 80s. Yeah, 80s. Yeah.
Depending on what you qualify as being a video game.
go ahead.
Was that a diss?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. I was not making a comment about Richard's age. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's what it kind of sounded like.
If Okay, he was putting words in my mouth.
Oh, I like that. I go, no, that's all right. That's all right. I wasn't doing that. That's all right. Old people can still throw shoes. Anyway, so I don't know.
A shoe?
Right, don't, right. I don't know.
Who throws a shoe?
I don't want to hurt you too bad. Okay. I'm like, I have a sandal.
Okay, I'll take a sandal.
Okay, like don't, not a real shoe, not a heel.
So you're saying you're flip-flopping now?
Oh! Take that mic away from him.
Got him.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my God. I'm going to throw a sandal at you, too. How do you like that flip-flop? Oh no!
Producer ended with the response, "If the shoe fits, Richard."
Oh! Wow. Oh my god! Okay. Yeah. Okay, wow. We're serious.
He dropped the mic. Andy just dropped the mic into his hand, like,
and he caught it.
Andy coming in hot.
All the fire. I'm just letting
just letting people
can
know.
Can we get producer Andy in on the show? Like, please. If you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, hit us up at Nerd AF Show and tell everyone to get producer Andy on the show. Hashtag producer Andy.
Give Andy the mic. Come on, Andy. What's your feelings about this? You're always so quiet. You're always so quiet back there. Give it to us. Oh, no. Just give us a blurb. Just give us something.
By popular demand. As a journalist who has covered shootings, as a person who has witnessed the things that go on in communities that have shootings recur regularly, I think that pointing to video games as the cause for shootings is completely out of line. I think that there are many things that go into violent activities and violent actions. I don't think that pulling video game advertising from Walmart or whatever did or didn't happen specifically.
Right.
Sources vary on what was done by Walmart. I'm of the opinion that it is not a violent video game problem, just as it's not any one single problem. There are many symptoms to this issue.
I agree.
And I don't think that you can make that argument when the same games are sold in Canada and in Mexico.
Thank you.
And in Europe. The UK.
Yes.
And in so many other places that are not plagued by the shootings that we have so often here. Do I think that violence is too prevalent in American society? That's an argument that could be made with more evidence. And I also have no opinion there, but I think that if you're trying to stop mass shootings by pulling video games, you're trying to solve the wrong symptom.
Video game signage.
Signage.
Yeah.
So great.
Like, you can't have a poster. Ooh.
Poster. Cool. You pulled your poster down.
That's just lazy.
You know? What's like, next? Are we going to ban rap lyrics? Are we going to ban hard rock? Are we going to ban, you know, violent? We're going to ban The Handmaid's Tale for talking about violence against women. I mean, there's all sorts of things that go on that are not being addressed in the way that this is, and I think that it's the wrong course of action.
The people who are doing it are lazy. It's a very lazy way of doing it. Instead of doing a deep dive, going up in there and actually finding out what the fuck is going on in this country, they rather just pull video games or signage.
Well, the ironic thing is, you'd pull all those things prior to pulling guns.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. What causes shootings? People with firearms. And I'm not saying that people with firearms are the sole reason why shootings occur, but there are millions of law-abiding gun owners who don't go shooting up schools and shopping centers and movie theaters. In the same way that you also don't have people in general, just because you own a gun, going and committing violence because they also happen to play Halo or Gears of War or something.
Right.
There's, you know, causation, correlation. This is the wrong argument to be making.
Right,
there.
I agree.
The last thing I'm going to say is if you look at who perpetrates most of these shootings, yes, it's men.
Oh, overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly. It is overwhelmingly white men. Mm-hmm. It's not limited to white men. It's not necessarily a racially isolated issue. But I think if you look at the number of people who do not commit shootings in terms of demographics, who also play violent video games, who are not going and shooting places up, you can't make this argument. And so I think the action of pulling signage is cute, but it's not. I also, from a marketing position, what were they? How did they expect that to be taken? How did they expect that to go? Gamers are going to hate it.
Right.
The right is going to hate it because it's allegedly removing freedom. So I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, Tyler.
Is there a point that hasn't been covered at this point? I don't think so.
Domestic violence history. A lot of these things are shootings are happening where people are starting to figure out that there's been some issue with the shooter and domestic violence in the past. We really need to look at this and kind of put it up on the board as one of the things to look for when evaluating a person about whether they would commit a crime like this.
Well, I particularly agree with what Andy brought up around the idea of there's a lot of symptoms there's a lot of symptoms going around this, and people are focusing on the wrong things because everyone is shooting down the real ideas behind, like, well, what could we actually do, or what can we actually focus on? Because you've got people who are, you know, the gun lobby is pointing towards everybody else, because the last thing they want is for everybody to focus on, well, should we implement stronger gun laws?
Exactly.
And the video game lobby is pointing against everyone else, which is really just a bunch of 13-year-olds in their basement and us. And we're all going, it cannot possibly just be us. But the mental health people are pointing at everyone else going, well, it's not just mental health. It is a lot of different things all contributing to this problem.
And it puts a dangerous stereotype on people who are, have mental health issues. Just say they're uncontrollably violent.
There's various degrees of mental health.
Right.
Right. And so it can't just be a one-trick solution, but unfortunately, nobody wants to address like a multifaceted solution because everyone's too busy yelling about it.
Right.
And so instead of us all coming together and being like, hey, we probably need to do stricter gun laws. We probably need to address a lot of other issues like mental health and maybe even enacting something to restrict video games, like restrict M-rated games to M-rated people. Like, I mean, even as a small kid, you could get M-rated games with very little oversight.
Yeah.
And I think there is an argument to be made around the idea of they what you take this. In is going to be is going to affect you. And so, well, I know they've tried this.
They've tried this before.
But trying it doesn't mean that you stop.
I heard this described as a uniquely American problem.
Which it is.
Gun violence. And it occurs here at the levels that it occurs, in the places that it occurs, at the times it occurs, because of the way that American society is wired. And you have a problem with toxic masculinity. You have white privilege running amok. You have so many things that taking violent video game advertising from the shelves of Walmart is not going to solve these problems.
I agree.
Singular actions will not solve these issues. And I think also on the point that Hugh made about pointing the finger at mental health is a dangerous thing.
It's very dangerous.
It's also dangerous to do that for gamers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not equating gamers as being in the same boat as people who are recovering from or surviving mental illness. But what I am saying is I think it's important for people to realize that each of these issues stigmatizes the thing that is being blamed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way that not all gun owners are violent criminals waiting to unleash fury 30-round magazines at a time, I think that at the same time, you also can't say that gamers are a menace to society. You can't say that. And I don't think that you can make that distinction truthfully and morally and with any seriousness behind it.
Unfortunately, what we would need to do in order to make any headway on this would be it needs to be a multifaceted solution. It would need to address a lot of different aspects. And with all the finger pointing back and forth, people just are not putting it in. There's not enough cooperation to get it done. And I think Walmart's position in this fight is, well, I hate to say it, but the moms who are buying video games for their kids that are M-rated and just get these wake-up calls and are like, oh my God, little Timmy's playing Call of Duty. It must be that.
No.
And they immediately, well, I think that's a big part of it. And I think that's why Walmart pulled their stuff because I think they looked at it and they said, we need to wait until this blows over. And that's the biggest problem. This will blow over. We don't until have a long enough swing. Until the next one, and then we'll have the exact same arguments, and then we'll go right back and
blow over. But that's the same thing with racism in this country too. It's like this: when something absolutely horrible happens, let's talk, let's put it on the TV, let's talk. But they're talking in circles. They're not actually doing something about it. They're not deep diving into it. They're not like going there. And it's like this, and this are the problems. Why are these the problems? Mm-hmm. Who is teaching this? Who's letting this shit go?
Well, and that's the problem.
Instead of jumping on it when it needs to be jumped on.
And that's the problem with so many fingers getting pointed in so many directions now, is it divides the issue between so many different potential problems that we never make any progress on one specifically.
Well, we're never going to do that because people keep wanting to talk in circles. People, we're so divided. We can't decide on one thing and one way of doing it. And people don't want to do the work. I'm sorry, people are lazy, in my opinion. You actually want to sit down and you want to do something, then do it.
26 people were killed in Sandy Hook Elementary School, and nothing was done.
I know.
I'm going to make a shift in the conversation here in a moment. But real quick, just to defend your point, Tyler, regarding M-rated games. As a gamer, I do support that. I think kids who are underage have too easy access to those types of games that maybe they shouldn't be playing yet. I think we do the same thing for the movie industry in terms of the rating. And, like, I don't know, I tried to get into Passion of the Christ, of all things, underage, and it just didn't happen. Right. I wanted to bring an old friend back, our good friend Bill Maher.
Really?
Yeah. I have one, been not taking,
a friend. Two, asshat.
I have been watching his show real time a little bit the past few weeks.
Really?
In Bill's closing statements this past episode, he talked about part of the reason could be is that we don't take care of each other as a society anymore.
Well, we don't.
We're very much in American culture, a culture of winners and losers. And when some people feel like they've lost everything, they lash out. And social media has kept us more distant. He mentions the fact that everyone sees through social media the side of people they want you to see, and doing the inevitable comparison to your life, it's going to make your life look like shit by comparison.
Right.
Not realizing that their lives are the same. They're just manipulating reality to put forth a certain look.
Yes.
He did it with jokes. He did it with, I don't know necessarily. I mean, we're having kind of a jovial conversation around such a serious subject here, but I don't know if it was the way to approach it, but I did appreciate his take on that, because I do feel like, especially given the finger-pointing, the political climate, we don't take care of each other anymore. We're at each other's throats at this point. And it goes to show that it's just, we have to find a way to sit down, have a conversation like we're doing, and get off social media a little bit and quit, like, just, you know, attacking each other online, and, you know, talk to each other and try and bridge gaps, tear down walls, mend, like, whatever you're now, pick your euphemism for it. I don't know. That's kind of where I wanted to take the conversation. Like, is that the answer in terms of a multifaceted approach? Is just kind of finding people where they're at.
People sit behind a screen, a computer screen, and they feel powerful going up in there and saying whatever the hell they want and attacking whoever the hell you want.
That used to be me, to be completely honest. And Tyler could tell you, like, he remembers the old Xbox days.
But like, it's like this. But if that person was standing in front of you, would you say those things?
No.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not even just, I mean, yeah, it's, computers have made it way easier. Anonymity gives you that.
Right.
Like, not being held accountable to what you have to say definitely gives you that.
Right.
And that's created an environment
and
where
making shit up, too.
And unfortunately, I mean, the internet is an amazing tool, but it can be used for good and it can be used for bad. And this is an example of the bad that can come out of, like, having such a powerful way to reach people. And it sucks. And it really does. And unfortunately, yeah, I don't know if it would fix everything, but I do agree with you. I think that it starts with, we have to start breaking down a lot of these walls. We have to stop letting people get pushed to the margins and then finding community in these super polarized positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think three of these guys now
talking about internationally, the Christchurch shooting and the other two, radicalized on 8chan.
Yeah.
Like, just facts.
But and at the same time, you know, there's part of me says, well, okay, we need more oversight. And at the same time, part of me cringes from the idea of more oversight on the internet. Like, the internet is supposed to be about free speech, and where do we start drawing lines around that idea? So I think that's what makes this topic even harder.
I'm a terms of service guy. You violate terms of service, you're gone. That's how I agree.
But at the same time, like, right now we've got Facebook unwilling to police themselves, YouTube unwilling to police themselves. YouTube. Like, all of them are saying this isn't our problem to police it.
Right. Right.
And it's like, well, who do you trust? Like, going back to the conversation about the boys, who do you put with that kind of power to police the internet? Like, I don't think the government's going to do a good job of it. Who do you put in charge? Not to say we shouldn't, or not to say we shouldn't find a way to figure this out and, you know, get a kill switch to be able to kill some of these clearly radicalized sites.
I agree.
But, you know, you start trading your freedom for security. What is the thing that Ben Franklin said?
And what does this exactly sound like? The whole argument at Endgame when Captain America... And, or I should say when Iron Man, yeah, when Iron Man came back down and him and Cap had the fight, he goes, I wanted to put the world in a suit of armor. Yeah. And he goes like this. And at one point, I was looking at it, the words, and he calls Captain America a liar. He goes, where were you? Mm-hmm. Liar.
Yeah, because he
said it impacted our precious freedoms or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I said we'd lose. You said
we'll, together.
We'll do we're that too. Well, guess what, Cap? We lost. I memorized it because
and
you it's already.
And he's like this liar.
Well, and that was
calls him a liar.
No trust.
And that was part of that. Right. And that was one of the more powerful scenes, I feel like, from those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a question of like, well, where do we start drawing lines? And nobody's willing to step up and like actually agree on a line.
But who's it, what's it going to take? I mean, who's
you
it
mean
take?
Line as well, though? I think, like I think, when this line is crossed, you no longer have access to a platform because that's a big. That's a big. Topic, politically and just in general.
Yeah,
about is it censorship or is it protecting people from harassment?
Yeah, and I think you have to take it almost on a case by case basis.
You have to,
and that's a problem too because everybody wants a blanket way.
Well, you can't do that.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree,
not with these
but
things.
But it's something that has to be done. I agree, but everybody's looking for the blanket.
That's lazy.
Everybody's looking for the magic solution.
Right.
Yeah. It's lazy, but that, like you said, man, people are lazy.
People are lazy. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to see, shit, this is, I'm flawed this way. So I'm flawed this way. How can I make myself a little bit better? I'm not saying try to be like the best freaking person in the world, but it's like this. Do the work. Definitely do the work. Try to be a better person. Isn't that what it's always about, trying to be a better person. We're never going to be a perfect, good person, but we can try. And the moment we stop trying, I feel we're giving in to the laziness and we die a little on the inside. I'm just saying. That's how I feel. That's how I was raised.
I think we leave it on that.
Let's leave it on that. Guys, you can believe it. That's an episode. So we're going to get a round of plugs.
Hold up,
I normally start, but let's change it up. Let's add some chaos to our order here. Let's go with Richard Williams.
Oh, okay. The one thing I want to see and I want to see with my friends is It Chapter 2. I'm just laser focused on that right now, and I don't know why. Because I want to see how the story ends. And it's always about the story with me. So... are we doing our plugs for our social platforms?
Yeah,
on Twitter, you can find me at Storm78704 as well as on Instagram. And I am on there. And come talk to me. Argue with me, please. And I'm really excited about the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show that's coming on. What is it? Disney Plus. So I'm really...
Boo Ewan McGregor.
Oh. Here we go. We ain't got enough time. Crap, man.
I got three things to plug, so this is kind of going to be a lengthy one. First, I'm going to start with Team 17, the developers of Worms games. I've been playing that game since like fifth grade. Remember, young Hubert back in Anchorage, Alaska on the PC. Thank you. Shout out Mr. Pankin for downloading Worms and letting us play that in the PC lab on a daily basis. That was the shit back in the day. Fast forward all that time, 20-some-odd years later, played Worms WMD online with my friends. Still fun, still wacky, still that same sense of like youthful joy as I see a satellite shoot like rays of death down at my opponents. It's still good stuff, man. Number two, got to shout out the clan here real quick. Specific clan mates from the Blades of Crota, my guys. Unholy, Dark, and Pyro. These guys got me a special gun, PvP gun in Destiny. I'm not the greatest PvP player in the world. PvP player.
Come on, man. You can do this.
In the world.
Deep breath.
I have lost my kind of stride in the PvP universe. These guys got me a special gun. I'm really excited for it. And lastly, to Aziz Ansari. A lot of comedians don't necessarily have the greatest bounce back from being involved in a Me Too situation. Cough, cough, Louis C.K. But Aziz Ansari has a new special on Netflix. It's called Right Now. It's very interesting. He talks about what it was like to what he went through. And I've watched it three or four times. I really enjoyed it. So I'm telling all y'all to go check it out on Netflix. You can find me at HughJohnson707 on Twitter. Is that enough time, Tyler?
Yeah, that was enough. I appreciate
stumbling
that.
Over my words like PvP.
I appreciate that you added that in just to give me more time because yeah, I know that's exactly why it happened. Quick side note: Hugh was a badass PvP player back in the day. Like, I can fully attest that Hugh was a badass PvP player. So, to all of us who have lost a few steps, myself included, because God knows I don't do.
These kids are too twitchy these days.
Okay, let's not start saying these kids, okay? Hugh, we're not old enough to start saying these kids. We're not allowed to.
I swear to God.
Richard is not allowed to either. Something I have been geeking out about is that Oculus has come out with their Oculus Quest rig, which is completely wireless. So you get full VR experience. You get to be able to do so without having to have a seriously major gaming rig to run it through. And you can do it without having wires. So you basically have free range of movement. So awesome, awesome, awesome. And it's coming in at less than your standard console. So for like $300-$400, you can do full VR experience. It's already launched with a bunch of games, including Star Wars games, by the way. So if you want to go swing a lightsaber, not like full-blown AAA titles. Okay. We're talking VR-specific titles.
Okay.
So yeah, Oculus Quest, for all of you hardware nerds or just looking to get into the VR experience, I think this is a great entry point for VR, and it'll help it continue to build and get better and better. So that's my plug. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all sorts of stuff. If it's a social platform, come look for Wild Wanderer and you'll find me. WYLD_Wanderer.
And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Nerd AF Show. Be sure to check us out on iTunes Podcast and on Stitcher. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we out.
The Nerd AF Show is a production of F420 and is directed and produced by Andy Caldwell.